Just want to begin with some prayer, okay? So, Father, we commit this morning into your hands. I thank you for everyone who's gathered. I thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us and you know us. And Lord, you have something specific in mind that you called us to. And Lord, I pray that you would make that relevant and impacting to us this morning, that you would give us all the revelation of you that we need, the revelation of your call that we need to accomplish all that you want for us in 2019. So we give this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Vision Sunday. Andrew and I are going to speak a little bit about the vision for COV. We'll be speaking, sort of laying a few things out today and speaking in a bit more detail over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And we just want to bring some focus to what we're called to in 2019. You know, what is it that God has for COV? What is he wanting us to do? You know, the Word of God says that he has prepared in advance good things for us to do. So what are those things for our church? I want to sort of probably speak a little bit too just about the difference between a vision and a mission. A vision focuses on the future, of course, of what we want to be, what we as a family want to become. And a mission is all that we do and the way that we all serve together to accomplish that. Another way of putting it is that our vision is what we aspire to become when each of us live out our mission in the community. And I don't know if you know, but we actually have a mission statement. Does anyone know that? Has anyone seen a mission statement somewhere in that direction of the church as they've come in on Sunday mornings? Can anyone quote it? No, I can't either. So, anyway, I'd like to read this together. I do know it, though. It's not that I don't know it, you know, so I just don't with you. So let's read our vision statement together, shall we? Church on Vogel desires to be a caring and enthusiastic and growing church family. We want to deepen our relationship with God through Jesus Christ and make him known through loving involvement in the lives of people. That's a great vision statement, isn't it? It's really good. And I wanted to just to start this morning a little bit differently. I want you guys to have a little discussion with each other, just to give you a couple of minutes. And I want you to address this question. In your opinion, what does it mean to be a caring church family? In your opinion, what does it actually mean? We talk about it all the time, don't we? But what does it mean to be a caring church family? Have a little discussion with each other. Person on your right, left, doesn't matter. Tell each other what you think that actually means. Okay. I hope we've got a little bit of clarity on that. I'm sure we came up with some good ideas. I'd really want to encourage the house group leaders and ministry leaders to address this a little bit more at the beginning of this year. Have a talk about what that really means to be a caring church family. We could ask also, how do we remain enthusiastic? You know, that word enthusiastic is interesting. It means possessed by God. How do we remain enthusiastic and a growing church? From your point of view, what does it look like to have loving involvement in the community? What does it look like to have loving involvement worldwide? It'd be really good if you're able to devote a little bit of time at the beginning of the year to just to think about these things so that we can all sort of get onto the same page of what God is calling us to. And I really believe that there is such a thing as a call and a vision that God imparts to different churches. Obviously, we're all part of a major vision, a major mission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But God gives each specific church, I believe, an individual flavor, an individual characteristic, something that they can actually contribute to this overall mission. And our desire this morning is to discover what that is for COV. And I want to encourage you too, each Sunday when you come into that entranceway, have another read. You know, don't just sort of walk past, but look at what that vision statement is actually saying. How can you show more care for others? Challenge yourself with that question. How can I change my life and my time? How can I alter my schedule on a daily basis in such a way that I can maintain my zeal, I can have that enthusiasm that our vision statement talks about? I can enhance my spiritual growth and my relationship with Jesus. How can I make Christ known more this week? My church community, my neighborhood, amongst my workmates. And how can I let his message, how can I contribute towards his message going out into all the world? Challenge yourselves with these questions. It's important that we all get this from the Lord, that we all understand what he's actually calling us to. Now, I'd like to suggest three specific areas concerning Church on Vogel that I felt the Lord impress upon me for 2019. I'm sure there's going to be other things that the Lord will speak to you too. But I'm going to present these to you for you to actually just seriously pray about and consider. And I believe that these things are essential to us fulfilling our call in 2019. So the first of those is a city on a hill. A city on a hill. The second thing I felt the Lord say is a house on a rock. A city on a hill, a house on a rock. And the third thing is a house of prayer. So let's start with a city on a hill. Can you turn to Matthew 5:14, please? Matthew 5:14 to 16. Jesus was talking to his disciples and to a massive crowd. This is the Beatitude sermon. And he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, it's interesting to me that, you know, we know in John where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But this is challenging because Jesus is saying, "You are the light of the world." Why would he do that? He was in the world. Now he's saying, "You are the light of the world." And the reason is because Jesus is in heaven right now. He is here by his Spirit, but he's in heaven. So who's left on earth to be his light? It's us. And so he's saying, "I'm conferring upon you, I've imparted to you my light, and now you are the light of the world." So in other words, he has designed it so that he wants his church to be seen. He wants you guys to be seen in the community. He wants you to be seen in your workplaces, seen at school, seen at university. He's designed it so that his church would be seen. And we in Church in Vogel are called to be a light in the darkness. He wants us to be seen in Roslyn. He wants us to be seen by our neighbours. How many of you had a conversation with your neighbour this week? Don't put your hands up. But you know, it used to be back in the old days, we knew our neighbours, they were like our best friends. We'd be having conversations all the time. But this generation has drifted into this whole independence thing where, man, we don't even know our neighbours. And I believe that to be light in the world, we've got to change. We've got to go against that grain. We've got to go against the way that the culture is moving and head back towards this whole idea of acknowledging and knowing that we are the light of the world and that God wants us to be seen. Let your light shine before others, he said, that people may see your good works. What does that mean to let your light shine? It doesn't mean to try and be religious. It doesn't mean to go to your neighbor and try and quote Psalm 23 to them. It actually just means to let your light shine, to let that life of Christ in you be seen by them, lived out before them. So they're watching you. And by looking at you, they'll get a glimpse, they'll get an idea of who Jesus really is. Now, I'm really encouraged with what's going on here in COV with the house next door and the things that, you know, we are, I believe, on the precipice. We really are starting to let our light shine before men. Amazing things, wonderful things are happening in Roslyn School. You know, when Andrew and the crew first went there, there was just a lot of, you know, apprehension, some caution about what these Christians are going to do in our school. Well, now they go there and they have amazing rapport. And it's not because they're going there and trying to ram religion down people's throats. It's because they're going there and they're demonstrating something of the light. They're letting their light shine in that school, and that's exactly what God intends for us to do in Roslyn. So let us realize you are the light of the world. When you think about who you are in Christ, tell yourself, I'm actually the light of the world. God has entrusted this generation of people to me, and I've got to shine. I've got to let that light shine. Second thing, we've done that. Second thing, a house on a rock. Flip over to Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7, 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, this is kind of a sobering thing, but the reality of this is that we make the choice on which foundation we build. It's actually our choice. And in this parable, he's saying, let the man who hears and does, that's a choice that he's making. He's hearing, but he's actually doing. Did you know that you can faithfully attend church week after week, month after month, year after year, and still build your house on the sand? You can spend years seeking after biblical knowledge, scripture, studying your hermeneutics, nailing down your theology, and getting lost in that, and still build your house on the sand. And I'm not saying any of this is wrong. I'm saying it's great to get that kind of thing, to get the knowledge. But here Jesus is saying, if you want to build your house on the rock, it's not about what we say, it's not about what we know, it's about what we do. It's not about our talk, it's about our walk. It's not about our profession of Christ as Lord, it's living under his lordship, daily choosing to obey him. This is talking about action. And I know sometimes when we talk about this, people get a little bit frightened because we think, oh, you're saying that, you know, your salvation is based on what you do. No, I'm not saying that. But faith always expresses itself in action. Real faith does. And that's what this is saying. It's talking about obedience. Is Jesus Lord of your life in 2019? And if he isn't, what changes do you need to make in your life to make sure that he truly is Lord? That you're not just giving him lip service, but you're stretching yourself, you're challenging yourself to obey him. You're allowing him to put those finger on those things in your life that this year you know you need to change. And when you respond to him and say yes to him, that's when you're making Christ Lord. And that's when you're building your house on the rock. It's the people that consistently do that in their lives that forge a life that is solid and built on a rock that will not be moved when the winds change, when the rains come, when liberals come at us and try and, you know, sue us for our ancient morality, sue us for our stances on things. When you're getting criticized from people at work, when you know you're going to be disadvantaged, maybe even looked over for a promotion because you're standing strong on what you believe. That's a house built on the rock. That's the house that will survive. Third thing is a house of prayer. Isaiah 56, verse 7. I'll just read it. God is saying, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Now, every church is obviously called to pray. No doubt about it. It's not an option. And for COV, I think the extent to which we begin to fulfill our mission will rest completely on how much we pray. I have no trouble making that transaction in my mind. Our prayer is so important. There has never been a spiritual awakening of any significance, ever, without people praying. When we look at the Great Awakenings, I was mentioning this last year in commission, all of the Great Awakenings, the first one in 1727, it started with a Moravian prayer meeting that went 24-7 and lasted for over 100 years. 100 years, 24-7 prayer. How could people do that? I mean, we can barely manage an hour and a half on a Monday night once a month. And I'm not saying that to condemn anyone. I'm just saying it's a picture of what they had that we don't appear to have in this generation. I ask myself, why don't we have that? I mean, why aren't there as many people here on a Monday night as here on Sunday morning? And I know there's practicalities to that, and some people have to stay home, but and I'm not saying this again to condemn anyone, I'm just saying, is it a picture of the state of our hearts? Are we just a little bit too ho-hum about all this? Expecting that, oh, Andrew and Sonia and the crew, they'll pray, that's all right. They'll be here every Monday night, it's all cool. You know, they can represent me. It's not about that. We've got to actually get this fire in our spirit, don't we? We've got to know that we individually are called to this. Great preachers like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, John Wesley, men filled with the Holy Spirit, came out of these revival meetings. Moving forward, second, third, fourth, great awakenings. Again, masses of people brought into the kingdom. Then we have the Welsh Revival, which is the sixth great awakening. Again, just prayer, constant prayer, people diligently praying, consistently praying, bathed in prayer, massive amounts of people coming to Christ, all because the people of God found it within their hearts and found a passion to begin praying. And so I'm challenging you that prayer is so important for us to do and be what God has called us to be in 2019. We will not be able to do it. We will not fulfill what he's called us to without all of us recognizing our responsibility to pray. And the central theme of all these revivals is always the same. If my people who are called by my name, if my people, not the world, they'll do what they want, they can be as sinful or whatever. It's not about that. It's if my people, you and me, will pray, seek my face, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, clean our own lives up, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin. Then I will heal the land. Then he will make a difference in our environment and in our land around about us, in Roslyn, Palmerston North, and hopefully in New Zealand. Paul counseled the Roman church, be constant in prayer. Be constant in prayer. And I cannot stress that enough for us. And that's a challenge I'm going to leave you with. The third thing, challenge yourself. Why don't I go to these prayer meetings? Is it the TV program that's on? Is it my gaming habit? What is it? Why do I consider something else to be so much more important than coming even for an hour and a half once a month and praying? So that's my challenge. I expect to see you all here tomorrow night at 7. All right, that's me. Thank you very much.
Private function that God is wanting us to do, but we want to be public. We want to be at the front. We want to be noticed. For some people, God gives us this gift of being able to serve and just serve and serve, but we want to lead. We want to be up front. We want to call the shots. We want to make the decisions. For others, God gives us this gift of being practical, but we want to do the spiritual stuff. And this is why it's this attitude that we don't always embrace the gifts that God has given us. We don't always just say, thank you, God, that you've made me this. I just want to operate in it to the best of my ability. The reason that we don't do that is what Paul is talking about in verse 3. See, Paul says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, what we have to do, we have to think about ourselves with sober judgment. And that word sober actually means not making too much of ourselves, but it's also not making too little of ourselves. Because there are some people that are called to leading in a church setting is not easy. You know, some people want to lead, but let me tell you, it's not all that it's cut out to be. But some people want, you know, they've got the call to do it, but they just don't want to do it because it's too hard. It's too difficult. Or they know they've got a gift of preaching and teaching, but it just takes too much work to prepare a sermon. And so they don't operate in it because they are not they're not thinking about themselves with sober judgment. And this is what God is calling us to do, to think about ourselves in the way that He has designed us to operate. Not to think of ourselves more highly, not to think we should be leading when we're not a leader. Not to think we know what should be happening when we actually don't know what should be happening. Not wanting to call the shots when we actually aren't called to call the shots. We have to take our place that God assigns for us. How do we do that? What's stopping us from doing that? What's stopping us from, or how do we become sober-minded? How do we become sober-minded? Paul tells us in verses 1 and 2. Because now we're getting to the crux of it. You know, often the reason we don't function, often the reason that we don't think about ourselves and our giftings and what God's called us to do rightly is because we've never done what Paul is asking us to do, what God asks us to do in verse 1. And that is to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice to Him. To say, here I am, God. Just use me any way you want to use me. If it's public, I will do it. If it's private, I will do it. If it's practical, I will do it. If you want me to speak into people's lives in a spiritual sense, I will do that. If you want me to lead, I will lead. If you want me to serve, I will serve. Here I am. I offer myself to you as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to you. Because that is our acceptable act of worship. Church, are we offering ourselves to God? Are we just saying, God, use me however you want to use me. Do whatever you want to do in my life. And I will take whatever position in your body you call me to. All I want to do is worship you by offering myself to you as a living sacrifice. You see, often the reason we don't know our giftings and often the reason is that we're not functioning is because we have not come to the place of submission, of giving our all to God. I want to read a list of needs that we have in the church right now today. A list of things that we need people to be active in, that we need people to move forward in. And as I do this, my real prayer is just that you will be here offering yourselves, not to me, not to Church on Vogel, not to the Roslyn community, offering yourself to God and say, God, use me. Show me where you want me to function. Show me what you are calling me to do. Because the problem is that so many of us are so busy just doing our own thing, we haven't got time to offer God our all. But He is so worthy. He is so worthy. And ultimately, when we stand before Him, nothing else will count except what we offer to Him as a living sacrifice. Now, I've got some forms that will kind of summarize what I'm saying here, but I just am going to throw a whole lot of things out there. So this is just functions in the COV community. I'm going to start with where Tony ended, corporate prayer. If we're going to make any difference in this community, it is only because God is blessing us through changed lives by His Holy Spirit. God answers prayer. He changes us in prayer. He empowers us through prayer. Everyone can be involved in this ministry, and this is at the top of the list because it is of the utmost importance. We will achieve nothing if we are not a praying church. We have a number of prayer meetings, 6:30 a.m. every Friday morning here in the prayer room. Every second Tuesday lunchtime from 12:15, and so it's fortnightly, and it's this Tuesday. 9:30 before the service, half an hour before the Sunday service, and half an hour before commissioned at 7 p.m., our Friday night service, we have prayer. And we have the first Monday night of every month. You know, I guess just my real thing is, man, imagine if there was 100 of us here tomorrow night. Praying and lifting up our hearts and our voices to God. We want God to do stuff, but we're often too busy to pray together. Another prayer opportunity is the prayer chain, where people in the church are informed about urgent prayer needs via email so that they can pray on the spot. Other needs. We are in need of a church secretary. We're currently looking for a church secretary to do that all that church secretaries do. If you're interested, see Lenore. Youth group leaders. We're looking to add to our youth group leaders, people who can connect with youth aged primarily around the 11 to 15 years old, who can help out with organising and coordinating events. We're particularly looking for a person or people who are called to actually lead this ministry, to actually take it up and run with it. Kids Zone, we're looking for more people to help out with the kids ministry on a Sunday morning. We're looking for people to teach and to lead the classes as well as those who can help out. Pathways Interns, we are always looking for people to do the Pathways Internship. It's a full-time NZQA Level 5 and 6 diploma. Although registrations have closed for this year, it's good to be thinking about 2020. And what God's calling you into. Mentoring. We need older men and older mature women who are willing to walk with those who are younger in the faith. We need older and more mature couples to walk with newly marrieds. As a church, we want to promote a culture of mentoring. Marriage and parenting courses. A couple of areas that we should be working to strengthen are marriage and parenting. We need the right people to step forward and to run courses and seminars on these. Men's ministry. We need men who want to take responsibility for running the men's ministry. This is an area we want to expand and become more consistent in. You know, I'm kind of doing it at the moment, and that's why it's all over the place. To do that, we need the right person or the right people to lead and coordinate it. Small groups, there's a need for more people to be involved in small groups. Small groups are where we walk with each other, support each other, and care for each other. Ideally, every person that calls COV their church home should be involved in a small group of some sort. For the church to be able to provide this kind of support and care through small groups, we particularly need people who are called and willing to step into the role of small group leaders. People with the gift of teaching and the heart of pastoral care. Music ministry, we're always looking for more people to be involved in the music ministry. Worship leaders, musicians, singers, people operating the sound desk and computer media. This is for Sunday mornings, but it's also for Friday night commission services. We need people to set up and pack down for commissioned on Friday nights. It's a big job. We set up the church so differently. We need people that will help out on the kitchen roster on those nights, including providing food and organising the kitchen. Shared lunches. Our shared lunches are on the last Sunday of every month. We need more people to help out with the setup and the clean-up. It'd be great to have someone or a team to oversee this monthly event. For these lunches to work, it's important that we have enough food, not just for ourselves, but for our visitors as well. We need people to take it upon themselves to be generous in the food area. Himalong, we also need people to help with the kitchen, with the bi-monthly shared meal at the Himalong. We need a kitchen supervisor, someone who will just oversee the kitchen and make sure that everything is where it ought to be and that the kitchen is always clean and functional. The Sunday morning rosters, we're always looking for more of the right people to be on our Sunday morning rosters. People on the door for welcoming, serving communion, tea and coffee afterwards, and also counting the offering. There's website and social media administrators. We need people who can contribute to keeping the website up to date and relevant. We need people to take responsibility for creating media posts for up-and-coming events like commission, youth group, prayer meetings, shared lunches, etc., etc. Playgroup, there's a real need for the right people to come along and connect with the mums and the dads and the caregivers in a meaningful way and to provide care and support to those who come and even build connections with them outside of playgroup. Basically, we need people to be Jesus to them, both in word and deed. Hospitality, we need people to open their homes to others, invite people for a cuppa and a meal. This is about the body of Christ, looking after the body of Christ. Everyone looking out for each other. Part of this ministry is to make people feel welcome. This extends to talking to new people after the service instead of talking to those that you know. We need people who are actively connecting with visitors and those amongst us who are a bit shy. Overseas missions. As a church, we're always looking for people who God is calling overseas, whether it be for long or short-term missions. Visiting. We're always looking for more people to visit and look out for others in our congregation, especially those who are less mobile, in hospital or live alone. Giving. We need people to give financially to the work of the church, to both the running of the church internally and the community outreach. We're sometimes limited in what we can do through lack of financial resource. We're actually not an extravagant church, but we can struggle to reach our weekly budget targets, let alone fund new initiatives. Funding applications. We're looking for people to help out with submitting funding applications to help finance the work we're doing in the Roslyn community. There are a lot of trusts that we can apply to financially support our community work, but they all have certain criteria that we must meet. Fundraising. To finance our community work, we don't want to just rely on people giving us money. We need people to come up with fundraising ideas and to head up and organise these initiatives. ideally would like a number of fundraising events happening each year. An example of this is our annual garage sale, which I would be more than happy if someone else would step forward to run this. To collect items, to store items, and to run the event of the day. But this is just one fundraising initiative. Wouldn't it be great to have a few others? Girls Rally, we're looking for more people who can organise and help out with events and meals, but also people who can engage with the girls and their families and to knit them into the church community. Boys Rally. As we have a successful girls rally, it would be so great also to have a boys rally. To do this, we need someone who will step up and take responsibility and ownership for this ministry, as well as a team to help out. Roslyn School. We need more people who are committed to the work we do in the Roslyn School. People who can give time each week to read and to build relationships with the kids. After school programs. We currently run after school keyboard lessons for kids. This is a great way to connect the church with kids and their families from the Roslyn community. We would also like to run other after school initiatives. If you've got a skill that you could share with the community, I would love to know about it. Community support. We need people who are willing to walk with some of the families in this community who aren't yet Christians. People to befriend and support them and just to be there for them and to be Christ to them. Meals and food bank. At certain times we need meals to distribute to both people in the church and people in the community. When the house next door is up and running, hopefully later in this year, we want to have a stock of frozen meals on hand. The idea of a food bank for those who need emergency supplies would also be a great addition to the church. We need people to lead this initiative. We also need people that we can call on to bake for different events throughout the year. Financial Freedom Trust. We need more people. We've got a couple of trained people already, but we need more to train in the area of financial management and budgeting through the Financial Freedom Trust, as we are going to run a Roslyn-based satellite of the Financial Freedom Trust in the house next door. Practical helps. We need people who are willing to do practical helps for people in the church and in the community, both skilled and unskilled. We have someone here today who is here mainly because we did a working bee in their place as a community. We had a number of young people roll up their sleeves and get involved. We need people who are willing to do painting and maintenance and carpentry and plumbing and all the odd jobs that need to be done. You know, we need someone to mow the lawn, and we can't find anybody. And if that's not enough, there's a few things to think about. Wouldn't it be great for us to create job opportunities for people in the community who need to get into the workforce? Wouldn't it be great to have people who can offer their professional services to those that can't afford them in the Roslyn community, counsellors, health professionals, legal advice, etc.? There's a significant need still in the city for quality emergency housing. Wouldn't it be great if we as a church could help out here? You know, the idea behind this list is not to overwhelm you. This is just how my brain works. It's simply to point out that whatever function in the body of Christ you have, there is something for you to do and somewhere for you to connect in and somewhere for you to get involved. I'm not expecting all of those things to be fulfilled this morning, just to let you know. But this is where we're going. And this is only some of them. There's other things that I could have put on here. And if you have questions or particular interests that I didn't even mention, please feel free to talk to me about that or to one of the elders. For us to make a significant kingdom impact in our community and beyond, we need everyone to get involved. We need everyone functioning in what God has called you to function in. So I've got these sign up to serve forms, and on the back it's just got a brief description of those things, and they're out in the foyer. The idea is not necessarily for you to fill them in, but you can fill them in. You can put ticks and put your name and give them to Sonia and myself, and we can touch base. But the idea is more that you would take them, look at them, pray over them, and say, God, where do you want me to serve? There is so much to do for us to be a church that has an impact in this community. There is so much to do for us to be that light that Tony talked about, where we are shining because of the good works that we are doing. That's what makes the light, the good works that we are doing. Father, I just thank you. I thank you so much for your body. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people here. I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you that they are here. And Father, I just pray that this morning you will speak to us, you will challenge us, you will mobilize us, you will enable us, you will empower us to be light in the community. Father, I pray that you will show each person the function, what you have called them to do. And Father, we acknowledge this morning that it starts with submission to your Lordship. It starts with us presenting ourselves to you as a living sacrifice and just saying, God, use me, use my life to advance your kingdom. Use us, we pray, for the glory of your name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray.